Okay, the topic for our personal and spiritual management aid tonight is priorities in the use of time. And the classic story is often told of Bethlehem Steel and Charles Schwab, who was the president of this obscure steel company, and how he was visited by an efficiency expert in an effort to try and encourage the company to use his services. And this efficiency expert was showing Schwab several methods of management, to which finally Charles Schwab said, "Now wait a minute. What we need to know is how to do what we already know to do, rather than to learn how to do something that we don't know how to do. And if you can show us something that will help us to do what we know can do and make us more efficient," he said, "then we would be able to pay you anything within reason." And Lee Ivey, who is the efficiency expert, told Schwab that in 20 minutes he felt he could show him something that would make him at least 50% more effective. And he asked him to take out a piece of paper, and after he got the paper, he said, "Now I want you to write down the 6 most important things that you must do tomorrow." And so Schwab wrote them out, and he said, "Now I want you to rearrange them according to their priority." And when he had done that, he said, "Now tomorrow when you come to work," he said, "I want you to go to number 1 and stay with number 1 until you have finished it. And then go to your second priority and stay with that and do not do anything else until you have finished that. And then the 3rd and the 4th and so on." And he said, "If you don't get all the way through," he said, "that's all right, because you will have done the most important thing that you had to do." He said, "You try this." He said, "You get some of your other executives also to try it." And he said, "If it works," he said, "just send me a check for what you think it's worth." And with that, departed. A few weeks later, Charles Schwab sent Lee a check for $25,000 with a note saying that that priority list item was the most effective lesson or important lesson that he had ever learned. And as Charles Schwab applied the plan over the next 5 years, Bethlehem Steel grew from an unknown company to the largest independent steel producer in the world. Years later, Schwab's friends, upon hearing this story, asked him if he didn't think that $25,000 was rather a high fee for such a simple idea, to which Schwab replied that its simplicity was its greatness, and it was perhaps one of the best investments that he had ever made in his life. The importance of priorities. Since we can only do a small number of the possible activities that come our way, it's important that we decide all matters on the basis of our objectives. Once we have planned our days or weeks or months based upon objectives, we have a basis for selecting which activities we will involve ourselves in. But if we do not prioritize those activities, then we will not become effective. One of the greatest reasons that we do not accomplish our objectives is that we say yes to things that we ought to be saying no to, because they have nothing to do with reaching our goals and objectives. And our lives are filled with time-consuming activities that only lead us further away from our objectives. And one of the greatest time-saving devices in the world is a two-letter word, no. And somehow we must master the art of saying it. And we have got to stay with our priorities. And if we do not do that, then we are never going to successfully learn to manage our time. And we need to remember that just because I say no doesn't mean that it's not going to be done. Because if it is important enough, they will come along and find somebody to say yes to it. But it doesn't mean that you have to say yes to it. What you must learn to say yes to are your own priorities. This simple priority plan is the backbone of almost every successful person's management program. The idea of doing first things first and second things not at all. And it will change your life from one of frustration and over busyness to one of accomplishment in the fulfilling of your objectives. Now, in a very real way, value systems and priorities go hand in hand, and our priorities do reflect our value system, where our time and resources are being expended. That's where the real priority is in our life. You remember over in Matthew chapter 6 and verse 21 where it says, where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Therefore, we must be careful about where the treasures of our time and money are spent, for that is where our heart really is. Often we hear people stating very high-sounding goals and objectives, but in reality, they have nothing to do with the real priorities of their life. And if we want to discover what those real priorities are, then you come back, and as I have suggested to you before, evaluate where your time and money is being extended. Now, God has a value system, and He has some priorities placed upon certain things in life. And one of them has to do with the kingdom of God, where He says to us, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all of these things shall be added unto you. And then He has a priority upon us putting Christ first in our life. In Colossians chapter 1, verse 18, and He is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things He might have the preeminence. And then God has placed a premium and a priority upon us obeying His laws and commandments. In John chapter 14, verse 21, He says, He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me. And he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him and will manifest myself to him. He's also put a priority upon prayer, of which Jesus has set the example in Mark chapter 1, verse 35. And in the morning, rising up a great while before day, he departed into a solitary place and there prayed. He has put a priority upon the Word of God. You remember that God commanded Joshua. He said, this book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then shalt thou make thy way prosperous, and then shalt thou have good success. He has placed a priority upon witnessing. But ye shall receive power after the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me, first in Jerusalem, and in all Judea and Samaria, and unto the uttermost parts of the earth. And then he has placed a priority upon disciple-making. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. Now, in trying to help you to place your priorities right in that personal and spiritual management aid, it is a tool designed to help you to make practical application to what Jesus has commanded. First of all, that we should know him, and secondly, that we should make him known to other people. Now, day after day, as you use that personal and spiritual management aid, it helps you to place a priority upon your quiet time, your communion with God. It helps you to take and to place a priority upon the things that the Scriptures tell us that we should be involved in the continuing of his word. It deals with our relationship to the world which is lost and without Christ. And then it has to do with that world that knows Christ but are not his disciples. So, we have got to learn to live by our priority, and Christ must be our first priority. Now, what I would like to do is deal with some practical tips in managing your time and helping you to arrange your priorities. And the first has to do with plan every day of the week. If you do not plan according to your priorities, other people will fill up your day with their priorities. And while they sleep like babies at night, you will flop from one side to the other, frustrated because you are one more day further behind while they sleep like babies. On your personal and spiritual management place, there is a place for you to plan your day according to your priorities. Use it. Now, not only do you need to plan every day of the week, but you need to be thinking about planning a week at a time and a month at a time. And we give you those sheets on Monday, but there isn't any reason that you could not write down Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday at the very beginning. And if you've got something that you have to do on Friday, then just flip over to Friday's page and write down there on your do list, or schedule it over there, because that is a priority item, so that whenever you get to Wednesday or Thursday or whatever day that you have something planned, then you'll have it there. Secondly, don't commit yourself hastily. Many times people will ask you to take on some job or responsibility or commitment, and before you think about it seriously, you realize that you've said yes, and in your heart, you wished you would have said no. And one of the things that we've got to learn to do is to put some emotional distance between the request and the decision. If somebody comes and asks me, will you do this for me? Out of my heart, I want to do it. And if you can extract an answer from me right now, you've got your best chance of getting me to say yes. But the longer I think about it, and if I pray about it, and check it back against my priorities and my objectives, there's no way in my right mind that I could say yes. But if I make an emotional decision, more than likely I'll say yes and be sorry. And now just place myself into a pressured situation. And a few years ago, I finally got to the place, because people are rather impatient, make up your mind, can you do it or can't you do it? And I just simply have gotten to the place, if you want an answer now, it's no. Now, if you want me to think about it and pray about it, then maybe, you know, I can do it. But if you got to have an answer right now, the answer is no. Well, would you pray about it then? Yes, I will. And if you call me tomorrow or this afternoon or this evening, I'll look in my book. I'll see what I'm committed to and see if I can say yes to you. But I have placed some emotional distance between that decision, and now I'll go back and I'll look at my book. I'll weigh it against my objectives. I will look at the priorities I'm already committed to. And maybe when it's all over with, I'll say to that person, I'm sorry, I cannot do it now. But perhaps I could do it another day, if that would be of some value to you. And put that thing off a week, a month, or 6 months. Because I would like to help you. I would like to do it. And the problem is that I just can't do it now. I know some of our best speakers, you want them, you got to plan for them 5 years in advance. And most of us are not that intelligent. But some people are, and they've got them booked up to 1985 and 86 if the Lord tarries. And they've got so many people making so many demands on their time that they literally have got to schedule that far ahead. And you know, it's kind of hard to get a calendar that you can do that with. The next thing, don't let the phone destroy your day. The story is told of the old man who would never answer his phone, and when somebody asked him why, he said, I got that phone to help me, and not so that other people can call me to help them. And he just didn't answer his phone. When he wanted to use it, well, he picked it up and he used it, and the rest of the time he just didn't answer it. Well, I'm not sure as Christians we ought to take that kind of attitude towards our phone, but he had a point, because he was not about to let that phone pressure and destroy him. And other people who are successful in their time management do not let that phone destroy them. If you call some busy executive, first of all, you go to the switchboard, and the switchboard transfers you not to that person, but to a secretary. And she wants to know, first of all, she says, I'm sorry, so-and-so is in conference. Could I help you? And when she is assured that she couldn't help you, well, then could somebody else help you? And when nobody else can help you, then she wants to know the nature of your business. And she tries to get that all down. And then she says, well, I'll have Mr. So-and-so return your call. And when you find that kind of thing happening, and all of us get a little put out with those kind of executives that we can never seem to get to, But what they're really saying to you is that, my friend, I am planning my day according to my priorities and not according to yours. And if he's a good executive, he'll get back to you and he will handle your problem or get somebody else to handle your problem. And most of the time when they return that call, it will be just before lunch or just before closing time. And they find a place somewhere there in their day to return those calls and to deal with those things that they need to deal with. And if they don't, they just put somebody else on it and he or she calls you and clears up the matter and that's the end of it. And you've never talked to him. Now you can do the same thing. When your phone begins to ring, you could say to that person, I wonder if I could call you back a little later, that I'm involved in something here. And they say, oh yes, that's fine. You don't have to tell them what you're doing, because you may be having your quiet time, you may be reviewing your verses, you may be reading your child a story, but you're engaged. That business executive, he may be sitting in there writing a letter, he may be working on a particular problem, and most of the time his secretary doesn't tell you what he's doing, it's just saying, I'm sorry, you know, he is in conference. And you can do the same thing. Could I call you back? And then you go on with your priorities and have some place there where you can get back to that person. Now, all of us have been involved with people who get on that phone and you just can't get them off. You walk around almost with a cauliflower ear. And with those kind of people, when you return their call, you want to do that just before mealtime, if at all possible. And if that person is, you know, getting ready to have their lunch or their dinner, you'd be surprised how quickly they can conduct their business. And most of the time, those executives call you back just before you go to lunch or just before quitting time. And it's amazing how much you can get accomplished in a few minutes. But don't let the phone destroy your day. Then learn to kill two birds with one stone. Take wasted time and redeem it. You can meditate, you can memorize, you can review, you can pray while you're driving your car, while you're washing the dishes, while you're shaving your face or putting on your war paint, such as the case may be, or when you're exercising. Now, most of the time, we like to find a little quiet time when we can sit down and do one thing at a time, but unfortunately, life is not structured that way, and we have just got to learn to redeem some of that time. And you know, the scriptures even suggest that to us in Deuteronomy chapter 6 and verse 6 and 7. And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thy heart, and thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thy house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. Now, it's nice to have a half an hour set aside for family altar. But sometimes that just doesn't happen. But I may spend, you know, several hours a week dragging my kids from one part of town to the other and collecting them where I could learn to redeem some of that time rather than for the kids to be sitting there looking out the windows and you driving away. And, you know, not using that time to some good advantage. Another way to kill two birds with one stone is to combine jobs or errands. It is absolutely amazing how many impulsive people that if a thought hits them, they've got to stop what they're doing and run and do that, and then they come back and they think, ooh, you know, I forgot that, and then they're over here doing that, and then back here, and they think, oh, you know, and they waste more time and energy and gasoline, where if they would have started in the morning writing down that I've got to take the kids to school. Well, can I kill two birds with one stone? Yeah, you need to go to the store and you're already out of the house. You could slip over there and do that, and then I've got this to do. And lo and behold, I knocked out three or four of those things in one trip. And an hour from now, I am back home rather than eating up 2 or 3 hours trying to do those things because I have not plan them out. So we just got to learn to plan ahead. And then the next thing, we must learn to discipline your time. By that, it means that you need to get yourself on some kind of a schedule and go to bed at some appointed hour and get up at some appointed hour and begin planning your day. In Proverbs chapter 13, verse 4, the soul of the sluggard desireth and hath not, but the soul of the diligent shall be made fat. Or in Proverbs chapter 26, verse 14, as the door swings on its hinges, so the slothful in his bed. Now everybody needs adequate rest. And if you are impulsive about when you go to bed one night and it's early and the next night it's very late, you just become irregular and you can never plan when I'm getting up and when I'm going to bed, and it just gets us off to a very poor start. Another way, turn off that dumb TV set. The average Christian spends somewhere between 15 and 20 hours a week in front of the boob tube. You ask those people, how are you doing in your scripture memory? How are you doing in your Bible study? How are you doing in your witnessing? And you say, what's the matter? Well, you see, I just don't have the time. Baloney. You turn off that TV set, you may be bored to death. You have so much time. And I'm not suggesting to you that you ought to throw the thing out, but I am suggesting that we learn to discipline it. And if we do that and have a balance, it'll create hours that we do not have. And then, last but certainly not least, is plan your day with God and the basics as the first priority. Make no allowances when it comes to putting God in His commandments first. If you don't begin to put God first today, He will never be first. And we will end up exchanging our lives for the temporal things of the world rather than the eternal things of God.